Good morning and welcome to another edition of St. Louis Voices. My name is Jill Devine, and I always say this about this program. This program is so great at connecting individuals about things that maybe they know about in the community, but they want to learn a little bit more, or things that they don't know anything about and they're going to learn a lot. And that's how I personally feel about today's interview. First of all, I want to welcome in our two guests, Rory Williams. He is the board chairman with Lung Cancer Connection. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us, Jill.
And Emily McGee, the program and event manager with Lung Cancer Connection. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So well, let's just start with saying the reason why we're doing this interview and why I got connected with you guys. I am your MC. I'm very honored to be your MC for
we're
the 10th.
Happy to have you, too.
Well, thank you for the 10th annual Run, Walk, Breathe event on April 27th. Which I definitely know that we're going to talk about that, but I want to back up a little bit as to how I got connected with you guys, because I have so many questions. It's one of the reasons why I want to do this event, because there are so many preconceived ideas about lung cancer.
Yep.
And what happened for me, a friend of mine, we've been friends for quite some time, but when I first met her, I had learned that her sister had passed away at the age of 21 from lung cancer. And immediately she said to me, and she wasn't a smoker, which I'll be honest, was my first thought. Oh my gosh, how long had this girl been smoking that she lost her life at the age of 21 and to get that diagnosis? And so I've learned a little bit about what happened to her, but I know the most important thing that happened is that her mother lost her daughter, her sister lost her sister,
right?
Her aunt lost her niece, and that's the main thing. So that's kind of how I got involved with Lung Cancer Connection. So I don't know if we should start with you, Roy, or you, Emily, on the background and the mission, or where to begin?
Well,
because
I would kind of like to talk about lung cancer itself, some statistics at first, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Because, again, like you said, most people aren't very familiar with it, luckily. Lung cancer kills more people each year than all the other major cancers combined. So that would be breast cancer, prostate cancer, liver cancer, brain cancer, melanoma, all those types of things. Lung cancer kills more than all those. Speaking of Allison, she was one of the 20% of the people who get lung cancer, but who never smoked. It is not just a smoker's disease. Radon, by the way, radon gas that's in many people's houses, is the second leading cause of lung cancer. And you can have that checked. There's companies that check it, and there's remediation. In fact, I just bought a house last summer, and it had radon in it. So we got a system put in. But some other things are lung cancer kills more women than breast cancer does, which I think would be a surprise to a lot of women.
Yeah.
What else? Well, let's see here. If you're diagnosed with stage 3 or 4 lung cancer, you have about an 18% chance of being alive 5 years from the point of your diagnosis. So the survival rates are horrible. Breast cancer, by the way, has an 89% cure rate.
Because there's early detection and there's things that you can do.
Because of early detection, certainly, and because of huge amounts of money. Lung cancer also is the least funded of all the different cancers. And by that, I mean by charitable contributions, by government funds, and all that. And we think that has a little bit to do with, oh, well, they smoked and it was kind of their fault.
Exactly what I was going to ask.
You got to accept that. But, you know, there's people who eat nothing but McDonald's food and get overweight and develop diabetes. And there's no stigma attached to them, you know, or other examples I could use, which I guess I won't bring up. But anyhow, lots of people do things to themselves that cause disease, and they're not looked down upon like lung cancer.
Right.
So anyway, so those are some statistics. Missouri, by the way, ranks number 6 in new lung cancer cases in the United States every year.
All those things that you mentioned, it's almost worth mentioning again. We'll probably mention it again in a little bit, because I would have never thought those things either.
No.
But Rory, really, the person that can talk about this for sure is you, you were diagnosed.
I'm the luckiest lung cancer patient you'll ever meet, by the way. My cancer was found kind of by fluke. I had an upper respiratory infection that wouldn't go away, and I kept going back to the doctor, and it cleared up finally, but I had this cough that wouldn't go away. And so the doctor says, well, I want you to go for an x-ray. And anyway, so he told me about some patients he had who had lung cancer, and I decided I'd go ahead and go. And so they found it because I had a cough that hung on after an infection. But most people aren't that lucky. And that's why, by the way, one of our four programs is that we give funds to all the local hospitals to offset their cost of early detection CT scans for people who aren't on Medicare, don't have insurance, or just plain can't afford the test. But those things save lives. We're saving lives every year with the money the hospitals do them themselves, too. It's not just because of our money, but our money goes for people who can't pay for it.
So what happened with you with the diagnosis? Did you have to get surgery?
Well, so let me explain that. Sorry. The reason I say I'm the luckiest guy is because it was found early, A, and B, that means it was stage one. So with me, they went in and took out the bottom third of my right lung, checked my lymph nodes and stuff, and it had not spread. So I didn't have to have chemotherapy. I didn't have to have radiation or any of that. I had surgery and I was done.
And that's it?
Yeah, and that's unusual. That's very unusual.
How long ago?
6 years ago.
So do you go for regular scans?
Yep. I went every 6 months at first, and now I go once a year. It can come back, but it's a low chance.
Now, let me ask you about your history. Were you a smoker?
Yep. And there's a moral in this story, too. I smoked from the time I was 18 till I was 38. And then I quit at 38. So by the time I'm diagnosed, it'd been like 26 years since I hadn't smoked. Which kind of, when I quit smoking, I thought, well, I'll be fine. Nothing's
right.
going to happen to me because I quit smoking. Well, wrong. So anyway, but yes, I'm one of the 80% that smoke.
Which made you say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and get this x-ray done. Even though you said, oh, that's stupid. But as soon as your doctor said it, it's a possibility.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So early detection saves lives. And as you said, that's why breast cancer's survival rate has gone up so much.
Well, then what is the situation as far as we know with breast cancer, early detection comes with mammograms. What can you do for lung cancer? Because
it's these CT scans I mentioned. You can go to the hospital with a doctor's order and have a CT scan done of your lungs.
But what if you're not feeling ill and you just want your lungs to be checked? You can't.
Well, it's not as simple as I'm making it sound necessarily, but if you have to be in certain risk groups. You have to be, I think it's 55 to 74 years old.
Okay.
You have to have smoked X amount of cigarettes a year.
Okay.
And then Medicare, insurance, whatever will pay for it. So, which is where we come in with the hospital. So if you wanted to have it done at your tender age, Medicare doesn't work.
I'm fooling you.
So that's where our funding with the hospitals comes in. But well, yes, anybody can go get an early detection CT scan if they want.
It's just a matter of if insurance, right, which is where you guys come in too.
And they aren't that expensive, by the way. I think it's a couple $100. It's not that big a deal. So here's the sad part of the story is lots of people who are in those risk groups don't get the CT scans because they know that if they find they have lung cancer, they don't have Medicare, they don't have insurance, and they can't afford to get it treated. So why find out?
Ugh.
Yeah. No, ugh. There's a lot of people like that.
Okay. Well,
which
then
is another whole can of worms.
Obviously, this, of course, hit you hard, and it made you become a part of Lung Cancer Connection.
So I got involved.
And so now what do you want to do? What are you trying to get accomplished by being a board chairman of Lung Cancer Connection?
Well, we have four programs. And one is our patient resource bags that I showed you earlier. We give those to hospitals. They're given to patients at the point of diagnosis. And that's to make it one of the scariest things that can ever happen to you is to be told you have lung cancer.
Well, yeah.
And so having the information that the hospital gives you through our patient bag is very helpful. It tells you what lung cancer is, the different treatments, resources, help that you'll need and all that. So that was one of our things. And the early detection CT scan program I told you about. We also helped to fund the only cancer support, lung cancer support group in the St. Louis metro area. And then lastly, we donate money for research. So what we're trying to do is help educate patients and families, help the patients while they're battling the disease, and hopefully help to find, if not a cure, some way to manage the illness. We work closely with Dr. Govindan at Siteman Cancer Center.
Okay.
And at one lunch we had with him, he said something that shocked me at the time. And that is, one of my people, or our people, said, gee, I just wish we could cure lung cancer. And he looked at us very seriously. He says, oh, no, we'll never cure lung cancer or any cancer. He said, it's cell division. You know, your cells divide. He says, well, our goal is to make lung cancer and others a chronic condition that we can then manage, like diabetes, high blood pressure, what have you. I thought that was an interesting take.
I've never heard that before either.
I haven't either.
Because you do hear, we want to find a cure, but if your body's your body and the cells are the cells, then wow, that's a great way to put it.
I thought it was interesting. But and there's a lot of new medicines, Keytruda and others I can't remember the names of, that are helping people live longer, but they aren't a cure.
All right, Emily, where do you come in on all of this? I know you're the program and event manager, but I always ask this, why get involved with Lung Cancer Connection?
So I also had a personal connection to lung cancer because 10 years ago, my mom was diagnosed with lung cancer. She had been sick, not feeling well, just really tired. And it took a while to figure out what was wrong because she had never been a smoker.
Really?
She'd never been a smoker. Her parents had never smoked. Nobody in her family had smoked. And so I think they did a chest x-ray. Maybe you have bronchitis. Maybe you have, she couldn't go up a flight of stairs without having to pause. And that's when they found it. So she was stage 3A. And we went, she looks for resources and things. And she'd found this lung cancer connection in the walk. And we went to the walk, the very first walk.
The first one, yeah.
And so, 9 years ago.
Right, 9 years ago. And so as, part of the family, being involved in the Lung Cancer Connection, going to the walks, going to the trivia night, it's just something that we have done. My mom is currently 10 years out. It's her 10th year. She's in remission.
Nice. Congratulations to your mom.
We're all very happy. And so, but that's kind of the connection. So you see this and you start to read the statistics and you see the stigma attached to it. And you realize that it's not that way. And even if you were a smoker, you still didn't deserve this.
Exactly.
And so that's how you get involved, because you see this organization that's really trying to help provide education and support, but hope to the families, the patients, the caregivers, to all those people. And you see what a great job they're doing.
Well, and then with you two, again, the personal connection with your mom, Emily, and right. You, Roy, living in it, it makes you want to do more.
It makes you want to do more.
And
right.
Fight more and just get out there and spread the word.
Right, because it's all about the awareness. It's about getting the word out there. It's about getting people to realize to get some, charitable contributions and fundings that will help other people.
Okay, so now my question is this. For a long time, breast cancer was one of those things that people were worried about talking about because it was talking about breast. And then the next one is colon cancer. Mm-hmm. And now, you guys brought up a good point. Lung cancer is being referred to as one of those, you deserve it. And as we have heard, there are people that don't smoke that get lung cancer. How do we change that? Because you're right. Just because you smoked and you made that choice, I don't think anybody wants to wish lung cancer on somebody. Or like Roy, so many people have smoked in their past and then quit because that was what they needed to do or wanted to do, and then right. It still came back in and got you. So what do we do? How do we change this?
I think the answer to that is what we call awareness. We run ads actually on KMOX in November. November is Lung Cancer Awareness Month, and we run awareness ads on KMOX and some other places. But that's, that's a very small amount. So we need to get more publicity like this, more publicity about all the things we're talking about, and we need lots and lots of more money. Like I said, it's the least funded disease. It kills more people and it's the least funded of all the cancers. So it's all upside down. So it's as everything in life, it always comes back to money.
Right. I know. Well, okay, so how do we get more funding? Is it just the awareness? I mean, there's got to be other ways.
I'm ready for ideas.
I mean, I do think a lot of it is talking about it, though, is talking and having people find out that, you know, yes, if you smoke, you are at a higher risk. But if you're exposed to radon, you also have it. You can get it if you're not. You can just get it, like the 21-year-old friend of yours who got it. You know, I mean, it happens. If you, that's the phrase, if you have lungs, you can get lung cancer. And I think a lot of people, I have to say, when my mom was diagnosed, I thought, what do you mean it's a smoker's disease?
Right.
I didn't know. I was so uninformed because there isn't any information put out there.
Already in this conversation, and I know we said only 20% of people who pass away from lung cancer didn't smoke.
Right.
But in this conversation, I know two people.
Who have not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So well, no, 20% sounds small, but it's really not that small.
No.
Right.
Ah, this is crazy to me.
Well,
this...
what's the number? I think 100 and, is it 200 and some thousand people die each year? So if you do 20% of that, that's 40, 50,000 people.
But the fact that I don't know your mother, Emily, but I have met you, but the fact that I know two people now and right. just this, oh, it's, I mean, I'm baffled by all of this. Okay, so what more can we do? What can individuals that are listening right now and they're thinking, huh, I'm just as baffled as Jill is, or I know somebody that could be affected. What do we do now?
Well, I'd like to see, first off, you just kind of going along with what you just said, you'd be surprised how many people's lives have been affected by lung cancer, either through a friend or a relative or whatever. So I would like to see people get involved with us. You know, I mean, we need a lot of help. We're a very small organization. I mean, if you got all of the board and the committee members and volunteers all together, we maybe could come up with 25, 50 people. On any given day. So it's not a very big organization. So they could get involved with us. They could help us with events like the walk. This walk we're doing April 27th is our biggest fundraiser of the year. It's one of two that we do. And the more money we can create with that event, the more money we have to give to Siteman for research or the hospitals for CT scans and stuff like that. That's the way we're trying to address what you just asked.
Okay, well then, Emily, let's talk about the walk and let's talk about everything with it so we can get people registered for that. And then we can also talk about a few more things with the Lung Cancer Connection.
Sure. So we have this walk coming up on April 27th out at Chesterfield Amphitheater. It's a 5K. It can be a 5K fun run or walk, depending on which option that you choose. We've got a lot of stuff out there. We've got a Zumba warm-up. We have you coming up.
Oh, well.
That's worth coming to.
Okay.
Definitely worth coming out for. Photo booth, DJ, Rockstar DJs is going to play music all morning long. It's just a really fun event. It's a lot of people, a lot of teams coming together, supporting the lung cancer community, those who are still with us, those who are not. It's just it's a fun event. There's some food. There's some adult beverages afterwards.
Is Fred Bird going to be there?
Fred Bird is going to be there.
He always makes it fun.
He's going to help kick it off.
Yeah. He's awesome. Okay, it's $35.
$35 to register. If you register by April 19th, you also receive a t-shirt and a backpack.
You still have time to do that.
But if you miss that deadline, you can still come. You're just not guaranteed a shirt. You can register up until, or a backpack, but you can register up until morning of.
$35.
$35.
And if you want to register right now, where do you go?
You can go to our website, which is www.lungcancerconnectioninc.org, and there's a link to the website to register. Adults are $35, kids 3 to 10 are $15, and kids 2 and under are free.
So this is the 10th annual Run, Walk, Breathe event, April 27th at the Chesterfield Amphitheater. To register, lungcancerconnectioninc.org. You said that there's another big event that you have. When is that?
In November. I think this year is coming up. It's November 9th. Am I right?
I believe so.
And it's a trivia night. And
trivia nights are awesome here.
We did it, three or four years ago was the first one we did. We had no idea what we were doing. And it was a fairly good success. And now we get 350 people that we had.
That's huge. Yeah.
And it's a good time. As you know, people bring their food.
Yep, and their drinks.
Adult beverages. Uh-huh. Yeah, so it gets to be fun. But that's our, so that and the walk are our two principal fundraisers. We do a thing called blow up lung cancer, also in November, which is where people can do like fundraisers at their house with their friends or something, or you can donate your birthday on Facebook, you know, and donation and stuff like that. But it's not as big a deal as the trivia or the,
right,
or the walk.
It's more of an all year long. If you want to host a fundraiser, if you want to do something and get the word out, you can host your own little blow up lung cancer fundraiser and invite friends, coworkers. They do it at offices, just your book club.
Just anything.
Just anything.
Even
any,
if you do
lemonade stand.
Yeah, I was going to say garage sale. Anything. Yeah,
anything you want to do. And we do have like these kits that if you want to do it at the office or whatever. But that's our thing that kicks off in November, but we've decided to expand it throughout the course of the year.
So something that you were talking about a little bit ago, Roy, that kind of stuck with me, and I took a little note. I wrote down, don't be defeated. And I wrote that because you said, with the Lung Cancer Connection, if you put all of you guys together, there's probably only like, 25 to 50 of you. And we talked about how lung cancer is the least funded cancers of them all, and all of these things going against you. And I could see how it would be very easy to be defeated, and it would be very easy to be like, we can't change anything. But I see the passion in you. I see the passion in you, Emily, and all of these other cancers. And gosh, I hate saying that, but they all started like this. And some of them have ended up to be, and breast cancer is the greatest example right now.
Absolutely. Yes, they are.
So I want this to be what happens for you guys. And I just don't want you to be defeated.
Well, we won't be. One of the issues we have as an organization is that people generally get involved with us because they or someone they love had lung cancer. Okay, so that's the initial impetus. Well, then they come and they come to a couple of meetings, and other people start talking about their husband or wife or whatever that died, and they kind of freak out. It's like they're too close to it. It's too soon and all that stuff. So we lose a lot of people because of that, and then we also lose people because there's only an 18% survival rate. So just a story that isn't very happy, but I'd like to tell it. When I went to the first walk after I joined, which I guess was 6 years ago, they had a survivor ceremony. So I get to go up on the stage and be one of the survivors. And I'd only survived 3 months at that point, but I was a survivor.
You were a survivor.
Yeah. So anyhow, so we file up there, single file, and there's, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 people before me. Then there's me. And then an older lady with oxygen tubes on walks in front of me and comes and gets on to my left. So she's the last person. And she keeps looking around me down the line. And I go, what, you know, what? And she goes, there was a lot more of us here last year. So therein is the problem. Running a organization based on lung cancer, so those are our issues.
If we
knew how to solve it, we would have done it. But the answer is more people on the ground, more awareness, and more money. And there was just we helped support a bill in Congress right now that where they're trying to reinstate $10 million that was cut from the budget from the National Institute of Health. Which is hilarious if you think about how far do you think $10 million?
Right. In this,
But anyhow, what's his name? Luke DeMeyer, our congressman, is supposedly helping to try to get that reinstated. So we could do more in the area of legislative work too, that frankly, as an organization, we haven't done much of. And I'm sure that's how Komen got so big.
Well, and the thing too, you said the survival rate is low and that's why people are going away. Well, we have the opportunity to make that survival rate higher with awareness and with funds. So we need to just not run away from it, run towards it.
Right. And it's moving in the right direction. I mean, there have been huge improvements in treatments and things like that. I mean, lung cancer is moving in the right direction. Like Roy said, with Keytruda and all these new treatment options. So we're slowly but surely making our way up that hill. It's slow and steady wins the race, right? That's what we are going for.
But I think, and maybe you could tell me I'm wrong, and that's fine. I can handle it. But I think right now, one of the main messages we need to spread is, like, you shouldn't be shunned if you were a smoker or currently a smoker and get lung cancer.
I agree with you 100%.
Because,
and we talk about that, but we don't, there's no, other than that, we haven't thought of anything else to do.
We're getting, obviously, in a better place of saying, here are the warning signs. But if you want to think back 10, 20, 30, 40 years, I mean, that was not even a thing. Like, it was just, you did it. That was what you did. So I think that that's one of the big things that I know I'm taking away from you guys, is that it is one of those stigmas, and we need to stop that. Again, if you want to come out and join us, it's April 27th, the 10th annual Run, Walk, Breathe event at the Chesterfield Amphitheater. You can register right now by going to lungcancerconnectioninc.org. I just want you both to wrap up our interview today with last minute things you want to get out to the listener, or things that maybe I missed that we need to cover.
Well, again, not to repeat ourselves, but I would encourage people, if they or their loved ones have been touched by lung cancer, to please come out to our walk. We keep telling you it's an event, not just a walk and run, and that's true. But people come from Florida, Minnesota, and some other states I can't remember to come to this walk. They drive all that way or fly. And the reason they do is they have a connection. They feel a connection with the other people that are there. So it's almost, this is kind of weird to say, but it's kind of a semi-religious experience. I mean, they really feel bonded. And that's, I guess, because there's so few that do survive and all that. But anyway, so that is the thing that I would suggest, is please get involved with our walk. If you can't do that, get involved with us otherwise. We need all the help we can get.
And what about you, Emily?
I was just going to say, and the event is fun. It's a fun, I mean, we're talking about lung cancer, and it's scary, and it's, you know, it's a disease, but it's a fun event. People are having a good time. People are enjoying. It's a community. Everybody gets together. And if you can't come out, if you're busy that day, you can still donate. There's a donate option. You can be part of a team. You can form your own team. You can create a team, or you can just donate. If you can't make it, you can do, if you're living out of state, and you want to run your own virtual race, make a donation and get out there and run.
I am a big, big proponent of, I always say this, and some people will say, oh, whatever, Jill, $5 doesn't make a difference. No, $5 can be the tipping scale. It could make a huge difference. Yep. And so
a thousand people do it.
Right, exactly. And so I never, ever, you know, there's been times where I've thought to myself to give back. I'm like, I don't have a lot in the bank account, but I do have $5. I'm going to do that.
We do. And we have $5. And we do have a donor, actually, who's going to be matching donations. It's going to be in an email that gets sent out, or and it'll be on the website. But we do have a donor who's decided to match.
Every dollar counts. I want to thank you both for talking to me today about this. I'm looking forward to coming out and seeing how everything goes on April 27th. I'm so happy that I was able to talk about really what this is all about and what people are thinking and what we need to do. And, you know, again, this is like a simple thing for me to do this interview, but I want to try to get the word out more for you guys. And
thank you.
And hopefully somebody's listening and they're inspired by this.
That's the whole idea. Have you ever been to the Chesterfield Amphitheater?
Not yet. And I hear it's amazing.
Well, that's what I was going to tell you. I mean, the course itself is beautiful. You walk through these woods, and there's a lake, and there's a stream, and a little waterfall, and it's a very neat place to be. And as I said, people, I don't know if we said it, but anyway, people bring their kids. Kids are certainly welcome, and dogs. Like last year, we had prizes for the dogs.
Oh, that's so fun!
You know, all that stuff. And the firemen are there, and we have a fire engine with the ladder up and the big American flag hanging. So as Emily said, it's a fun, positive thing. I tend to talk about the bad side.
Well, you have
cancer.
To.
Yeah, and so I don't want to give that. This is fun, and they would be happy that they came.
just use it as an excuse to go have fun with the family or your friends, and you're also helping in the meantime. Yep. So again, go to lungcancerconnectioninc.org to register and to learn more. And Emily and Roy, thank you so much. I'll see you in a few weeks.
Jill, thank you.
We're for having us on. We really appreciate it.